Welcome to Health and Safety to Go, a production of the Canadian Centre for Occupational Health and Safety, broadcasting from Hamilton, Ontario. Your host today is Jennifer McConey House.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Health and Safety to Go. Our guest today is Jim Clemmer, practical leadership strategist and best-selling author. Today, Jim is going to talk to us about how to lead yourself and your team to a healthier workplace. Jim, research shows that strong leadership in an organization leads to dramatically higher health, safety, and performance. What's the connection between an organization's leadership and their health and safety performance?
Well, I would say that leadership is the catalyst, and lots of research shows that the level of leadership that is provided in an organization has a direct correlation to the health and safety. And I think that happens in a variety of ways. One is, and I make the distinction a lot of my work between management and leadership. So my first response is a little bit more on the management side, but that's really understanding processes and making sure that we have high quality processes that are efficient and which not only save money, of course, but it means that there's less variation and less chance of people cutting corners and having health and safety problems. So that's sort of the base or the foundation. But then the leadership component is the what's typically thought of as the sometimes softer, fuzzier component. It's things like feelings and emotions. One study of a client I was working with a couple of years ago in the they were actually in the wood processing industry, and they found that there was a direct correlation between their internal climate surveys and morale sort of surveys, and how people felt about whether their supervisor cared for them or not, and the health and safety records of each of the plants. They could directly correlate the two. And so I think that really gets us into the discussion of engagement, the degree to which the workforce feel engaged in the day-to-day operations of the organization, and whether it's operating as a partnership and people really take ownership and feel connected to, this is our team, these are our processes, this is our organization, versus these major we-they gaps, or oftentimes even antagonism that can exist between supervisors, managers, and workers. And of course, those are very clearly leadership issues.
Can you give us a few examples of how anyone, management or worker, can lead their organization to a healthier workplace?
Oh, absolutely. We've been doing a fair bit of work with a number of different organizations on this kind of question. I guess probably the organization we've done the most work with, and we have seen some of the most dramatic improvements over a 3 or 4 year period, has been Barrick Gold at their mine sites around the world. We started working with them in 04, 05, and we began with using my book, The Leader's Digest, to really try to bring in a culture of leadership and a culture of health and safety. And over a period of about 3 years, they actually reduced their incidences by 75%. It was very dramatic. There were a number of reasons for that. Part of it was training, and the training that we were helping them with. Part of it was also getting the executives engaged and involved and making it a cascading process down through the organization. And they actually developed a safety behaviors chart, which looked at the behaviors of executives, senior management, and even the board of directors, looked at the general site and project management and contractor management, so all of the people involved in that at each site, and then supervisors, first and second level supervisors, and again, contractor management, and then also at employees and people working in the mines and on the very front line, as well as contractors. So looking at what are the behaviors that we expect of all of those people. And of course, leadership, as we've talked about, was key front and center and a core element of that. But another key element was getting people on the front lines to begin to recognize that leading applies to everybody, that leadership is an action, not a position. It's not something that that I, as a miner or someone on the front line, kind of sit back and say, well, somebody ought to take the lead on this, somebody ought to do something, or there's an unsafe work practice, my supervisor, the foreman, somebody ought to do something about that. It's getting and instructing and training frontline people to take action, to make it happen. There's a chart that was front and center in that training, which is now in my most recent book, The Leaders Growing at the Speed of Change. And it basically says that when we're faced with challenges, or when there's an issue to be addressed, or when there's a change to be dealt with, our choice is we can lead, we can follow, or we can wallow. And of course, wallowing is looking at how we might get frustrated and angry and upset and continuing to blame and say that it's somebody else's fault. So a company like Barrick has gotten frontline people part of the process and spreading the message that leadership is an action, not a position, that everybody, regardless of your position, needs to lead. But as their behavior chart showed, the level of leadership and the kinds of actions and activities that you would provide are going to vary according to the position or the role that you're in.
Jim, how can organizations incorporate health and safety into its organizational culture?
Well, again, that's an area we spend a lot of time with, and it really starts with, ideally, the senior manager of the organization, or if it's an individual plant or it's an individual work unit, because sometimes there'll be a tendency to say, oh, well, our senior managers aren't really on board, therefore we're not really going to do anything here locally. But that's a complete cop-out. That's below-the-line kind of wallowing. We even talk about getting on the bitter bus and going into pity city and all of those components of getting way down below the line. So it's stepping up to and saying, well, here in my team, in my workplace, I'm going to step forward and do something about this. So that generally starts with clarifying a core set of values. At the organizational level, it's what are the core values that we're building our culture around. And generally, it's no more than 3 or 4 or 5. These are the core things we're building, the behaviors we expect of everyone. At the local team level, it might be having an honest discussion about what are the ground rules, or what are some groups call them rules of engagement. There are different terms that are used, and others it's norms. What are our norms? What are our expectations? Different terms get used, but really saying this is the kind of behavior we desire and what we're looking for, and this is what's acceptable, this is what's unacceptable, this is what meets expectations, this is what exceeds expectations. So it's starting with that sort of agreement and that sort of, in many ways, visioning kind of process of ideally what we'd like to be. And then it starts to spread out from there into skill building, clearly. And clearly gets us into communications as well. One of my previous books was called Moose on the Table. And we have a metaphor there that is like elephant in the room, but is basically playing around, having a bit of fun with the idea that oftentimes in workplaces there are these taboo kinds of topics, or there are these politically charged sort of issues that people tend to avoid and tend not to deal with. And in the realm of health and safety, these can be literally deadly. They can be very, very serious kinds of issues that lead to tragic results. And so opening up and getting people to maybe use the language, well, there are a little moose here. Am I smelling a moose? Do we need to deal with a moose on the table? Back to Barrick, they really use this concept a lot to get everybody involved in moose hunting. For example, one of their mines, they had a plywood cutout of a moose that would make its way around the mine. And if you went out for lunch and came back as a manager and the moose was sitting in your office, you knew somebody wanted to talk with you. They had little stuffed moose. They had, in their Australian operation, in case of emergency break glass, they had little boxes around the office with little plastic holders saying, in case of issue, grab moose. And so they could play with the concept and talk about, well, is there a little moose? Am I smelling a moose? Do we need to put a moose on the table? And just that concept and that language opened up more of what we call courageous conversations, difficult conversations where you're addressing issues that you know really need to be addressed. And all of that is cultural.
Thank you for joining us today, Jim. Jim Clemmer will be covering this topic more in depth as a keynote speaker at CCOHS's National Forum, Leading Workplace Change, in March 2010. For more information about this event and Jim's presentation, please visit the CCOHS website, www.ccohs.ca, and search on Forum 3. Thanks for listening, everyone.